Hi, welcome back to the channel. This video is an update on Evergrande and the property developers in China. And specifically today, I'm looking at some comments that have been made by George Soros. Now, George Soros is a hedge fund billionaire who is incredibly knowledgeable. And he has seen a variety of recessions and dips and double dips and all sorts of crises. And he's come out and talked about the developers in China and the unsustainable model that the whole country has built. And he's talked about what's going on with the local governments. And he's made some comments about President Xi Jinping's position. And he's also made comments recently about BlackRock, who recently raised a $1 billion mainland China fund. So I'm going to run through what George Soros has said and look at the specifics of what he's identified as the risks, because a lot of this is building on what we've already discussed on the channel, but I think he's made some really good points that are absolutely relevant for what is going to happen in China over the next 3 to 6 months. And this isn't going to be contained to just the property sector. We're going to see a much bigger impact on the whole Chinese economy. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and please subscribe if you haven't done so already. And if you've got time, pop a comment in the boxes below. And just to remind you that I include chapters in my videos. So if there's a section that you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip through it and move on to the next topic. George Soros is a 91-year-old US national who was born in Hungary in 1930. He had to live through the Nazi occupation of Budapest. After that, he moved to London where he studied his degree, and he then moved into banking. He established one of the first ever hedge funds in 1969 called Double Eagle. And a year later, he created the Soros Fund. Now, the term legend is bandied around far too often these days, but George Soros is a genuine legend in the world of finance. And his philosophy was to focus on the fundamentals and look at the economics of the situation. And in 1992, he was dubbed as the man who broke the Bank of England when he bet heavily against sterling. At that time, the UK had joined the exchange rate mechanism, which was an early stage version of the euro. And in that mechanism, every single currency was pegged at a particular rate against all the other currencies. And George Soros identified the fact that he thought that sterling had been pegged at far too high a level compared to the other nations. So he started shorting sterling. He started selling sterling in the markets, and he took a $10 billion position, which was a pretty big bet compared to the size of his fund at that point. But it paid dividends as the UK faced the option of either hiking its interest rates dramatically or leaving the exchange rate mechanism, which it did, and that caused sterling to crash, and George Soros made over $1 billion profit on that deal. Later in the 90s, he took similar positions against the Malaysian ringgit and the Thai baht. He's currently estimated to have a net worth of around about $9 billion. However, he's very philanthropic and is reported to have given away $32 billion of his wealth. He's no longer involved directly in the fund management business, which means that he has free rein to say what he likes about anything at all in the world. And that's what's great about the comments that he's made about Evergrande and the Chinese economy, because he doesn't have a vested interest. He's not looking to pump the market and try to move sentiment. He's just saying it as he sees it. And that's why I think it's really valuable and interesting to go through exactly what he's been saying about Evergrande and the Chinese property development market and the Chinese economy as a whole. So in George Soros's speech at Stanford University this week, he said that the model on which the real estate boom is based is unsustainable. People buying apartments have to start paying for them even before they are built. So the system is built on credit. And he went on to say that the people of China had been encouraged to invest the bulk of their life savings into property. Now, he's made some really great points there that really underline why there's such a big problem in China right now. And I think the key issue to focus in on here is really the fact that a lot of the purchase price for apartments in China is paid up front. We've heard stories of people paying up to 100%. So in the rest of the world, you do pay a deposit. So if you want to buy an apartment, you will have to put down some cash. But generally speaking, that's usually about 5 or 10% of the purchase price. So it's affordable. It's usually part of the deposit that you've saved up that you put alongside your mortgage. So if you're taking a 75% mortgage, you generally have a 25% nest egg, and therefore you could afford to put 5 or 10% up front. If you're paying 50, 60, 70 or 100% up front, then that genuinely is taking you into a position where you're having to put all of your savings into an unfinished apartment. And that really highlights the risk profile of what we're talking about here and why the sector is in such difficulty. We've talked about it a lot before, but Evergrande have taken money from 1.6 million people in China. So those 1.6 million have given over their life savings to Evergrande in the belief that this was a rock solid investment, that Evergrande were trustworthy, they would build the flat and they would hand it over to them and everything would be fine. And the position that all of those people find themselves in now is that Evergrande has not completed the build of their apartment. They're in huge financial difficulty, so they're at risk of going bankrupt. And that means that those people's life savings is now at risk. That money has gone. It's not been escrowed. It's not set aside and can be returned to those individuals. It's been used by Evergrande. And the problem we've got here is that Evergrande does not have the cash to complete the builds to hand those apartments over to those buyers. And that's why we're seeing the government stepping in and arranging for the state-owned enterprises to buy the assets from Evergrande so that they can be completed and then given over to those buyers. So Soros's statement about the whole system being built on credit is absolutely right. He's hit the nail on the head here. And the problem that we've got is that the credit is now being withdrawn. So the property developers have been using credit heavily to grow their businesses. So they used debt to buy the land, they used debt to build the apartments, and now that all of that debt has been withdrawn, they can't finish what they started. So they've got a lot of unfinished building sites and they've got a lot of land on which they can't even start those projects. And we're now starting to see that whole system unwind. So George Soros is absolutely right when he says that this model is unsustainable. The only way it could have carried on is if the authorities were happy to let the debt grow and grow and grow exponentially. But there was always going to come a breaking point when the debt couldn't be extended any further. And that's where we are right now. And we're only just starting to see the unwinding of all of these problems. I touched on it on a recent video, but a lot of the suppliers to the property development sector are now starting to post losses and are taking legal action against Evergrande and all the other developers. And the reason for that is that they haven't been paid and they're now going bust. And the domino effect from that is massive because those suppliers won't pay their suppliers and they won't be paying their staff and those staff won't be spending in the economy. And you've got the downward spiral that you see in an economy when it is shrinking. So the unsustainable model that's highlighted by George Soros is no more. It can't continue. The debt just isn't there. They can't keep feeding that model. And now we're going to see the whole thing start to collapse. Another really great point that George Soros made was about local governments. And he said that local governments derive most of their revenue from selling land at ever rising prices. In China, there are monthly auctions of land held by all of the local governments. And for the last 5 to 10 years, these have been a huge profit center for all of those local governments. There's been an ever increasing demand for land and the prices have continued to go up and up and up. So each month, they release more and more land, all the developers borrow more debt to buy that land, and everyone's a winner. So these land sales have been a license to print money for all of the local authorities. But unfortunately, the wheel has now stopped turning. And as the bank debt was switched off to the property developers, that meant that they could no longer buy any more land. The monthly land auctions are now reporting a huge fall in the volume of transactions and also the value of the land being sold. And this again highlights the fact that the problems will not just be contained to property developers. We're now seeing the local authorities suffering. They've been relying upon this source of income to pay all of their staff and to continue doing everything that they do. And now that that source of income has been cut off, then they are facing a shortfall and losses. And as I reported in a recent video, local government financing vehicles have been set up and have been borrowing debt aggressively. So the local authorities also have a huge amount of debt. In the video, I highlighted that it's estimated to be $8 trillion, which makes the property developer position look relatively small. And when you take a step back and look what's happening, the whole system is a deck of cards because it started with the debt being provided to the property developers who could then start spending more on land. And we saw aggressive auctions because the property development companies were outbidding each other. They were using more debt to beat the other guys with a higher price. And so everything got bid up, and that meant the local authorities had more money and they could then spend more money and they could then borrow more money themselves. So the whole thing started building up into a hugely inflated bubble. And now that we've seen that bubble burst, everything is going to come collapsing back down again really quickly. Now, George Soros has also made some interesting statements about President Xi Jinping. In an article, he referred to the president as the most dangerous enemy of open societies in the world. And he believes that Xi Jinping faces opposition within the Communist Party for the upcoming elections. And in terms of his management of the property development crisis, he said that he believes that they may have postponed dealing with it for too long because people's confidence has now been shaken. So it remains to be seen how the authorities will handle the crisis. Xi Jinping has many tools available to re-establish confidence. The question is whether he will use them properly. And he believes that falling prices will turn many of those who invested the bulk of their savings in real estate against Xi Jinping, and that the situation doesn't look promising. So a really interesting perspective, and one that we haven't really discussed much on this channel, is what will happen if we see a change of leadership. Now, I know that it's a single party rule in China, and we're just talking about the change of president. But the president does have a big influence on what goes on in the country. And Xi Jinping has been following his common prosperity for all policy. And this policy has led to the three red lines being introduced and the reduction in the amount of debt available to property developers. So that really is the root cause of where we are right now. So if we were to see a change of president, there is a possibility that we could see a change of philosophy, that we could see a tweak to the way things are done going forward. And that would be really interesting because where we're sitting right now, I think we've all got good visibility as to what might happen. We know that the government has taken over Evergrande and is now stepping in and buying up all of the valuable assets from all of the developers in difficulty. So everything's being nationalised. All of the unbuilt apartments will be completed and given to the population. And we will see a collapse of all of the businesses that are left behind. So we know exactly where we're going right now. But if there was a change of leadership in April, then that could be right in the heart of when we're seeing everything starting to tumble down. So a change of plan at that point could really throw a whole new set of ideas and a whole new set of risks into the equation. So Soros has highlighted this as a potential issue. I think Soros is probably right because Xi Jinping is going for a third term in office, which hasn't been done before. So there is a chance that he won't get re-elected, that somebody else could get put into power. And particularly if everything starts to collapse really quickly over the next couple of months, just before the election. So that's the worst case scenario for him. It's the best case scenario for anybody who wants his job. And then they will need to come in and address what's going on in the property sector. And it could be that they try and introduce some radical new ideas. So really interesting thought, really interesting idea, and something that I'm sure we'll cover again in future videos. While we're on the issue of China and George Soros, I wanted to touch on BlackRock. Now, BlackRock, well, the first fund manager who've been allowed to launch a mutual fundraise in China. They got approval from the Chinese authorities and they now have their inaugural Chinese fund. And back in the summer of 2021, they raised just over $1 billion from 111,000 Chinese investors. And BlackRock have also stated their intention to invest more of their existing funds into Chinese businesses. And George Soros has spoken out about this and said, "Pouring billions of dollars into China now is a tragic mistake. It is likely to lose money for BlackRock's clients and more important, will damage the national security interests of the US and other democracies. He went on to say that BlackRock has drawn a distinction between the country's state-owned enterprises and privately owned companies that is far from reality. So quite damning words from George Soros in respect of the BlackRock moves into China. He's clearly pessimistic about the long-term prospects of any investments in China. But what he said about private and state-owned entities is exactly right. So BlackRock's belief is that there is a difference between anything that's state-owned and the private sector. So they're looking at the private sector in China being very similar to the rest of the capitalist world. But what we're seeing with Evergrande and the other developers is that that differential doesn't really exist. Once the private company gets itself into difficulty, the state can step in and do what it likes. So we've seen with Evergrande that the risk management committee was set up and all of the members of the risk management committee are the government officials. So Evergrande was essentially nationalized without the government having to actually buy it back from investors. They just sent their guys in and they're now running the company and they're breaking it up piecemeal. So they're using the state-owned companies to buy all of the valuable assets from Evergrande and the other developers at an agreed price. So what that tells you is that the differential between state-owned and private doesn't really exist if the company gets into difficulty. They will change the rules and send in their own people. So I think George Soros has a point when he says that there isn't really that differential. BlackRock's view is probably incorrect. And his view about whether or not BlackRock will make money in the long term in China, well, that remains to be seen. But from what we're seeing right now and where we are with regards to the Chinese economy, it looks highly risky to be putting any money into China at this point in the cycle. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, George Soros, as I said earlier, is an absolute legend. I've got a lot of time for his thoughts and methodology and the way he goes about doing business. He looks at the fundamentals with any business and then he makes a call as to what's going to happen. And this guy has been proven right a lot of times in the past. If you're a self-made billionaire, then you've got to be doing something right. And he's been operating in the world of finance and economics for a very long time. So when he comes out and makes statements such as he has about China, it's worth listening to what he says and looking at the facts of what he's basing his opinion on. I think his assessment of the business model being unsustainable for property in China is absolutely correct. And I also think the fact that it was based upon credit and now all of the people are starting to suffer because they have put a disproportionate amount of their savings into this single asset. And that is fundamentally going to be a problem for everybody in China. It won't just be the property developers who suffer. We're seeing an impact on the local governments as well, because they've been feeding off this market for a very long time. And we're also going to see all of those individuals who put their life savings in having financial difficulties. So this is contagion right the way through the whole of China. So his viewpoint with regards to BlackRock potentially facing losses in China also has some substance. Because when you look at where we are in the cycle, it doesn't look like the right time to be making heavy bets on China right now. So hopefully you found this video interesting, useful and informative. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.